This is the Jason and Alexis Show podcast, presented by our delightful friends at The Free House. When you listen to the podcast, you can thank The Free House. We thank them all the time, right, Lex?
Oh, we love The Free House. Thank you, Free House.
Thank you, Free House, and thanks for the beer.
Lex and Dawn, I have a great idea.
Yes?
Thank you for asking. I would like to take you two out to lunch. Are you game?
Let's do it. Where are we going?
We are going to the Lowry. I love the Lowry.
Ooh.
It's one of my favorite places. They have such good apps, and there are various ways that they can serve you. Three ways. First, we can go inside, or you can order online for the Lowry from one of their delivery partners, or you can pick it up from the restaurant. Should we go inside, though?
Yeah, let's go inside. Let's go have some breakfast.
Okay, and then we'll get some food to go, and it's all my treat.
Can we get food for like 3 days? I'm just asking for a friend.
I think you're kind of stretching my generosity, but they do have amazing breakfast and mimosa flights and Bloody Marys. But Dawn, I don't think you can get the Bloody Marys to go.
All right.
Ooh, and it's Bloody Marys all day, every day.
Well, but I thought Mama needed a beer. Don't you want some Free House beer at the Lowry?
Yeah, actually, let's do it all. Why not? I'm
Dawn,
thirsty, and I get out.
I guess I'll be driving.
You are driving. You can make reservations. You can check out the menu. You can order pickup, and you can order online at thelowryuptown.com.
No more Tigers!
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Jason and Alexis in the morning. Oh, okay. We get it, Joan. We get it. Live on My Talk 107.1 and live streaming all over the earth at MyTalk1071.com. I'm Jason Matheson, and joining me every single day when she's not threatening to leave me to become the world's very first totally nude flutist, Queen of the Flute, Alexis Thompson.
Oh, band camp. Good morning, Fluffy.
Good morning, Bunny.
Happy Friday, Don McLean.
No, happy Friday, Alexis. And good morning to Kenny as well.
Good morning.
Good morning. And good morning to all of you on this Friday, October 23rd, 2020. 6:03 is the time. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the day. Welcome to Friday. Welcome to your weekend. Welcome. We have a couple of them today. Welcome to National iPod Day. Welcome to National Boston Cream Pie Day. Welcome to National Mole Day. Welcome to National TV Talk Show Host Day. Welcome. And that's about it. And welcome to your very first sip of delicious coffee.
This is, excuse me, a damn fine cup of coffee.
How the hell's your coffee? Your cup of coffee. How the hell's your coffee? Your cup of coffee.
I thought there was one more, but it was incredibly sad, so I left that off the list. We'll just skip that day. Alexis, how is your coffee this morning?
Oh, my coffee this morning is fresh. It's black. It is piping hot. And it is very, very necessary. It's divine.
Yeah. Dawn McLean, your tea today.
Yes, it's warm-hearted, willing, witty, whimsical, wishful.
Ooh.
Kenny.
My coffee is water and it's gross. How do you people drink this crap?
Oh, no.
Oh, you don't have good coffee today, Kenny?
He doesn't have it. It is water.
Oh, it literally is water.
Oh, no.
Well, we're going to have to correct that if we're going to continue with the show today. Mine is coffee. Mine's wet. Mine's delicious. Mine is frothy. Mine is mildly sweet, but yet bitchy. Cheers, everybody.
Wow.
Cheers.
Well, I always wonder why you play the sound effect that you pick at the beginning, and the wire hanger one was an interesting choice today.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is Friday, and, you know, are you feeling a little Joan Crawford-y?
A little bit. A little bit. I may make someone scrub the bathroom floor with a toothbrush.
I may take away
Christina's ponies. I may do that.
Oh. May make Christina give her Christmas presents to other kids.
I may do that as well.
Presents.
Yeah, that I'm absolutely
that
doing.
That just killed me.
That is, I know. You get to pick one present and then give the rest to the poor children.
God. And then let's do a broadcast on TV to show you giving away your gifts that you didn't want to give away.
Oh, my goodness. I love the fight after fairly adult Tina comes back from boarding school. And the reporter's there doing a profile of Joan. And they just go at it. And Joan throws Christina onto a coffee table and is like, of course you know where the boys and the booze are. And then Christina had that great line, I am not one of your fans.
It's so good.
The movie is so campy. It's so outrageous. It's so, oh gosh, I need to go rewatch that. But
yeah, it's been a long time for me too.
But all of you out there, if you ever get your own radio show or podcast, and recent studies show that one out of every two people have a podcast. But once you get yours, if you ever interview Faye Dunaway, don't ever bring up Mommy Dearest.
Oh, really?
Interview over.
No.
Yeah, you can't. You can't talk to her about that.
First thing I'd ask.
I know. Well, Kenny, I know. It makes you want to, but she hates that movie. She's embarrassed that she ever did it. She didn't like what the director eventually did. She thought they went way too far with the camp. My reaction always is, you were on the set, lady. I mean, you were the one that read these lines. I mean, nobody. You saw what was happening.
Don't f*** with me, fellas. This ain't my first time at the rodeo. Ooh.
That's right. I love that boardroom scene.
Lines there.
Yeah.
You know what? She's also someone, who at this point, just own it. That's how we know you. We know you're not playing yourself. You're playing a character.
And this may seem like a joke, but I'm not. I don't know what her financial status is, Ms. Dunaway's. I'm sure she's fine.
Oh.
But I am not. I think you know where I'm going to go here. Here is where, if I was her business manager or her new manager, that movie came out in 80, 81. She has missed decades of revenue.
No kidding.
If she would have embraced this, every gay bar in America would have paid her thousands of dollars to appear at events.
Think of the merch, too, geez.
Oh, the merch.
The keychains, the shirts.
The gays would have bought her four houses in Malibu. I'm not joking.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to speak for all of my people, but we love, I mean, that scene is played, you know, gay bars famously, especially in the early 2000s. I haven't really been to one recently, but, you know, the video bars would have, you know, music video, and then they would play a campy clip. And that, the Mommy Dearest clips, I don't care where you are at any minute of the day, Mommy Dearest is on a screen in a gay bar somewhere in America.
Yes.
And yeah, she missed out. If she would have embraced it, I'm not even kidding. It's like all the stars that do these conventions.
Right.
They make a ton. I mean, you can laugh at them and think, oh, this is a sign of the twilight of their career.
Yeah, charge for an autograph. It's like, because this is my bread and butter. And you're here to stare at me, so
yeah.
Might as well make some cha-ching.
Bread and butter. It's like bread and golden butter.
Yeah.
I mean, they make... Geez.
Yes.
They make... Well, Lex, you know this. I mean,
yes.
You know it better than all of us, the amount of money they pull in from these events.
Oh, it's crazy. Not only they can charge for their signature, a photo, both. They're selling their merch.
VIP,
they're promoting.
So that you can talk to them personally. I've done it.
Yeah, dinners, exactly. They're promoting, you know, other projects that they're working on as well. They bring merch and sell that at all the Comic-Cons. And yeah, Don, you've done that?
Fillion?
It was Nathan Fillion, that's right.
Oh, I love him. He, you know, if you don't know who Nathan Fillion, he's the star of Castle and Firefly and a bunch of other stuff. And it was actually a steal. We went to Chicago Comic-Con and we had a VIP pass just for him. And if you're a big fan of somebody, you need to do that, because at these large conventions, you won't get even close. You'll wait for hours.
Mm-hmm.
And with these, you get to the front of the line. You get into if they're doing a panel, you get into the room first and sit up front. You know, you get an autographed picture. You get a photo with them. I think it was $75 for the whole weekend to be a Nathan Fillion VIP. Oh, so, nice. You know, my daughter and I both did that. And I mean, we had to pay for the ticket into the convention as well.
Yeah.
The basic price. But for him, his VIP, that's not bad.
Yeah.
No. Especially, with the access you get, it's amazing.
I went to one in LA by LAX. And I met, my friend, I went with Hey Haley. She had a crush on the gentleman that played Flash Gordon in the 80s Flash Gordon movie. She got to meet him. I got to meet one of the stars of Knott's Landing. I'm not going to say her name because no one would know who she is, but she was like a secondary character. I got to meet her. I got to meet Kim Richards. Remember that, Lex? I met Henry
That's
Winkler.
Right.
I met the Fonz. And the Fonz, I paid a little, like Dawn said, I paid a little extra money. And I spent a good, same thing with Kim Richards. Kim Richards basically invited me to have some pasta salad with her. I mean, I had Nutter Butters,
yes.
Dawn's, I'm so glad. You're right. If you are a fan of any of these people, do spend that money because you actually do get a decent experience. Unlike these crappy meet and greets after a concert where you get about 7 seconds with them. Now, in comparison, I would never pay for that crap because it's not worth it.
Yeah.
It's just not.
No, this is good. I mean, he you choose a photo for him to sign. They have them all sitting out there. And the one I chose, he's like, oh, I loved this moment. And he told me, like, he goes, I've never told anyone this before, but, and he like told a personal story about one of the actors in the picture and a moment they had during that scene. And my daughter and I were just standing there going, I can't believe that he's doing this. Like, his booker person was like, okay, we got to move people along. And he was just so nice. Like, they get it. These people that do these things, they get it, that this is the kind of stuff that we want. And they completely, you know, the good ones.
Yeah. And if they're bad, they're not asked back.
They don't really work as much.
Exactly. Or they know thyself, maybe, you know, you have one experience, you're like, ooh. Not for me.
Right.
But the ones who really get it, they make a killing. They really do. And someone from the convention who works for the Comic-Con, whatever it may be, they are with them and make sure, you know, they get their money and they meet that minimum. So, Faye Dunaway, come on.
Mm-hmm. Come on. You could have made money from the gays. I'm just saying. Six thirteen. When we come back, there is ice next.
And now on Jason and Alexis in the Morning, a message from our sponsor from like the 70s or 80s.
The 1979 Cordoba. Perhaps its essential luxury can be known only by driving it, for this is a liberation, a new freedom, a most rare experience. As you turn and climb, there is a feeling of continuous achievement. Cordoba. Classic styling, uncompromised comfort. Cordoba, the contemporary classic from Chrysler. Da, da,
da. This has been a Jason and Alexis classic commercial. Da, da, da. We now return you to our regularly scheduled mediocre radio show.
Now see, Faye Dunaway, Ricardo Montalban knew how to endorse crap. I mean, he endorsed Cordobas. He made more off the Chrysler deal than he did in one season of Fantasy Island. That is not a joke.
Wow.
Yeah. So, hashtag just saying.
That's Jason just the beginning.
Yep. Jason and Alexis in the morning. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. Angel Toro, legend for many things, but probably most known for his yard sale season tips and, of course, his legendary music skills. Am I right, Lex?
Oh, right. Yeah. Rapping, I guess. Would that be considered rapping?
I don't know. It's a sure. I guess so. Yeah.
So it's just an impromptu song that he really didn't rehearse in advance or write any lyrics for. It was just, you know, freestyle.
Yeah.
Well, and what was Lex?
Lex writes songs.
Not that we need a reason, but because there is a little bit of ice. But what made you think of our legendary winter song, There Is Ice? What made you think of this?
So yesterday, as it looked like it was snowing, it was turning to rain. And then I just saw so many people slipping and sliding outside that I just started singing it to myself, and I was like, yeah, there is ice. There is ice. And then a bunch of tweets, too, came in from my talker saying, oh, there is ice. There is ice. Here we are already, October, well, 22nd at the time, already singing this song. Usually we play this later, of course, because...
Yeah,
there isn't much ice right now.
Mm-hmm.
And Dawn pulled out the ancient Jedi texts and the annals of our show, and we found out this is the earliest we've ever played This Is Ice. We've never played it to kick off the winter season this early. So, ladies and gentlemen, on this Friday, October 23rd, 2020, for the first time in 2020, here is Angel Toro's chart-topping hit, There Is Ice.
Hey, you, be careful as you're driving. The roads are slippery out there. Hey, you, Minnesota roads are wild. Be careful and don't sleep everywhere. Going to the road, there is ice. Going to the left, there is ice. Going to the right, there is ice, there is ice, there is ice. Going to the bridge, there is ice. Going under a bridge, there is ice, there is ice. There is ice. Everywhere, y'all, there is ice. Hey, you, I want you to be safe. Be careful and don't do anything stupid. Hey, you, just go to the bank. This store anywhere to be safe. Going to the road, there is ice. Going to the bank, there is ice. Going to church, there is ice. There is ice, there is ice. Getting a cup of coffee, there is ice. Going to the store, there is ice. Going to your fridge, there's a lot of ice. There's a lot of ice, there's a lot of ice. Hey, you just wanna be you safe. I care about everyone out there.
He just wants you to be safe, and he cares about everybody out there.
Angel Toro with There Is Ice. No matter how many times I hear that, my favorite part is and will always be squeezing a lot of syllables into the getting a cup of coffee. I mean, that's my getting a cup of coffee. That's
me too. I wait for it. It's at the end. Get a cup of coffee.
Getting a cup of coffee. He needs to get, before that next beat comes, he needs to get that into the song. Oh, it's my favorite.
Oh. There's a lot of ice in your fridge, too.
Yeah.
Oh, Kenny, you've never heard that?
Oh, no.
Is that just Freeform, or is
Yeah.
Wow. And then Rocco put a beat bed behind it.
Yeah.
Wow. How do you like it?
Acapella.
Holy cow. I'm surprised Warner Brothers or somebody reprised or somebody hasn't called them and signed them up for a 5-album deal.
Yeah. Right, Kenny? Serious.
It's a lot of ice. There's a lot of ice. There's a lot of ice.
Get a cup of coffee.
Get a cup of coffee?
Going to the fridge.
There's a lot of ice. There's a lot of ice.
There, yep.
Oh, my goodness. Project Dawn and Dirty 2020 classic radio drama presented by Dr. Anesthetics and 360 Painting Minneapolis. Thanks to our funds, our matching donation partners, Voyage Healthcare, Phil Olson Senior Mortgage Planner with Cross Country Mortgage, AARP, Crescent Tide Cremation, and others. Find out about Project Dawn and Dirty on our website. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
Now, it's time for one of the dumbest answers in game show history.
Name a part of the body that gets bigger as adults get older. Freddy, penis.
This has been the dumbest answers in game show history. Back to you, Jason.
Well, it's factual.
That's something to look forward to.
I mean, it's, yeah, me too, Kenny. I hope that happens when I grow up. Yeah. Jason and Alexis, right, Kenny? I mean, I pray at night.
We can only hope.
We can only hope, Kenny. It's our only hope. Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1 on this Friday, October 23rd, 2020. Are you looking for talent? Are you a producer or director? I sound like one of those infomercials of the 90s, but are you looking for talent? Are you a movie director? Well, Alexis can help you. What is this app, Lex?
This is really cool. Yes, there is a new app. It's a startup. It's called Impact Creative Systems. They've spent the last 2 years connecting up-and-coming talent with studios. And we're not just talking about actors, but we're talking about screenwriters, behind-the-scenes folks, other professionals, directors. So what's great about this is that it is the... There's some major star power behind it. Brian Grazer and Ron Howard. They are the stars behind filmmakers, you know, who are saying, hey, we have a problem here. It can be really hard to find promising writers, and going through Ron Howard said, development hell, that it's just really hard. It's flawed. This is a great way that you can set up a profile on there and that creatives can find you and get you work. Which, of course, right now is always welcome. I mean, just in general, just being in that industry, it's hard going from gig to gig and, you know, trying to figure it out. But this is a great way to do it. They're bypassing a lot of, you know, agents and different things that, you know, if they're just trying to look for someone quickly. Now, now that I say that, I don't know if that's necessarily the best thing. But if you're representing yourself and maybe you get an agent after that, you know, that could be good. Either way, it's a great way to find talent and to find work.
Well, whether it's necessarily good at the moment, it's the natural progression with this type of thing. Think about the music industry. I mean, you used to have to, and to some degree, people still do, but you used to have to perform in seedy bars and pay, you know, quote unquote, pay your dues, and you used to have to wish that a record executive was coming into your town and able to go to one of your gigs. Now it's the Justin Bieber thing. And Shawn Mendes, you know, Ellen helped his career. Justin Bieber, the same thing. He started making his own music music videos on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Someone saw it and there we go. This is the same type of thing, just more of a one-stop clearinghouse. I think it's good.
It's pretty awesome. They also have a program for screenwriters and writers. If you you have an idea, they have this free to apply accelerator program. 87 writers have already gone through it, and it's a workshop for your scripts. So this is just, and this app is just another offshoot of it. It's called Impact, and so you can get that and check it out, see what they have to offer.
Dawn, what do you think? I mean, you're the only one on the show that has ever dealt with screenwriting. Would this be something that you would do? Do you think it's a net positive for creatives?
I would say yes, as long as people know how to protect themselves when it comes to their intellectual property. They need to be able to register their screenplays and their ideas, even to just have your ideas floating around out there. Is this just a way for industry people to steal people's ideas? I'm sure that it would get a lot of bad press if that was the case, but I'm sure it's not just Brian Grazer and
Ron Howard
looking at this stuff. They just developed the app. So I would just be careful, because the reason why you have agents and the reason why you have people who they're there to protect you. And if you're not union, if you're not with an agent, you're kind of just out there, you know, without any protection.
Right.
That's the only thing that worries me about it. But
especially if you don't know your way around the business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's really what this is kind of for. So,
yeah, you can always submit your screenplays and upload them to the WGA, which is the Writers Guild of America. That's what I do with my scripts. And it's like $30 to register your material. So that it's protected.
I didn't know that.
So if you pitch it to anybody, you are like, here's my WGA number for this project. And they won't mess with you then.
You taught the three of us something.
Yeah.
We learned something, friends, in our 6 o'clock hour today.
Even if it isn't the script, but it's just an outline and an idea, you should, you know, there's restrictions on what you can. You can't just like throw in a log line and say, like basically just a paragraph summing up your idea. You got to have more than that.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
Yeah, just research it if you're out there just throwing out your ideas willy-nilly. Mm-hmm. Protect like, yourself.
I mean, traffic reporter moves out in the woods, starts to raise a family of squirrels. You have to do more. You have to put more than just that line.
Yeah. How many million dollar ideas have I given away over the years on the air? Seriously.
That
other people have done. Or how many people have tried to steal my Twitter act? Seriously.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Some people used to bypass this just by mailing it to themselves because that's a federal, you know, if you have it stamped with, if you have an envelope that is marked with a time stamp, you know, then that kind of protects yourself in court also. Like if you mail yourself your own script in February of 1990 and then you pitch it to somebody in 2000 and all of a sudden it ends up on their network, you can go, look, this actually existed with this post office stamp before then.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the poor man's way to protect their work.
Nice.
I didn't know that. Wow. I didn't know the mailing thing. We learned two things today.
Yeah. I'm like, I wonder if that app covers this. I hope so.
Yeah. I'm just leery about things like this, and I'm not saying it's not a good thing. But it's called Impact what, Alexis?
Impact is the app that you can get. And then, let's see, their program itself. The program is what started, and then this app is just an add-on.
Yeah.
As they've been doing this, it's Creative Network is the studio and the network that they're under to help with writers, and then this Impact.
And does it cost you anything?
It doesn't
look like
it. Is this like
the Learn to Draw ads in the back of the magazines when we were kids? And you'd send them a piece of crap drawing and they go, oh my God, you're an artist. Send us $100 and we'll teach you to be better.
No, right.
Yeah, no, this doesn't look like it. I think it's really in, they're trying to connect creatives.
Okay.
Right. Yeah. Speaking of creatives, I was right before the debate last night. I was loving life. I got a text from my former producer, my good friend Carl. We've mentioned him over years. Yeah, actually, Carl. Carl famously was on our show in 2009 in a porta potty covering the inauguration of Barack Obama in 2009, and freezing in a Washington D.C. port. Lex, do you remember that?
I remember this one of my favorite days
ever, on the air.
Because the only time he could get a little bit of, well, not quiet. It still wasn't even quiet, but just so he could hear us and we could hear him. Was in the porta potty,
yeah. And Carl went on to be the producer of the Jason Show, and now I'm really proud. Carl now works for NBC News, and is part of the election team. Anyway, he texted me, and he also loves Letterman.
Right?
Yeah. And he's a huge Letterman fan, like I am. And he texts me about Letterman all the time. And he said, you have to watch the Lizzo episode with Dave on Dave's new show, My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. So I pulled a couple highlights because Carl is absolutely right. This is my favorite episode of this 4-episode season of My Next Guest Needs No Introduction. She talks in the middle of the episode. She talks a lot about Minneapolis and not just a passing mention. And, you know, we love that as Minnesotans. We love it. We're mentioned. We love that. Well, we are mentioned a lot. She talks about Edina, which I'm going to play you that clip. She talks about her encounters with Prince and in a shock, I had to rewind it because I went, what? David Letterman mentions our company.
What?
Yeah, he mentions KSTP. And I was like, now he bungles the call letters a little bit, but you know what he's talking about. So stay right there when we come back. The best of Lizzo on David Letterman. And don't forget, follow us on social media, Lex in the Cities, Dawn at Dark, and Jason Matheson. And one little fun thing, I'm mentioning this on purpose because I just talked about Nutrisource. I always say in our ads that all of us, and Kenny too on the podcast, we only do commercials for things we really use. And I know that you may not even believe that. So I shot a little video when Colin brought home the new Nutrisource bag, and the dog's reaction is pretty priceless.
No.
So you can see that on my Instagram, which proves we really do use this crap. We'll be right back, everyone. Kenny's new favorite song, Thank You by Dido. Jason and Alexis in the morning on My Talk 107.1, live on demand and streaming always. I'm Jace with Lex, Dawn, and Kenny. As I mentioned, Lizzo is one of David Letterman's four guests on the second season of his Netflix show. My next guest needs no introduction, obviously, to us. Lizzo needs no introduction. But you do learn a lot about her. And it's looking back, and now I've watched all... I haven't watched Chappelle's episode yet, but I've watched the two others. I've watched Robert Downey Jr., as did you, Lex, and I watched Kim K.
Yeah.
Enjoyed them all for various reasons, but this one I think is my favorite. There's no audience because this was shot post-pandemic, so they did it in Lizzo's LA home, and it was just a really light, fun conversation. And
oh, I bet she has a cool house.
She does have a really cool house. She did talk about, and I don't know if it's one of the clips that I'm going to highlight here, but she did talk about how if she would have had her druthers, she would have stayed in the Twin Cities. You really get the sense that it's not BS when people go, oh, yeah, I love Scranton. You know, she seems to really love the Twin Cities. I have a couple awesome moments here that I want to highlight here. This is just a funny one. She talks specifically about living in Edina.
Okay.
And I was like, oh my goodness, it's hysterical. So, and you're going to notice I have to dip out of it for a second because she cusses. So this will be some editing skills here. So here's a little bit of Lizzo talking about living in Edina.
But living in Edina was so bizarre. It's so rich and so white. Mm. And it's the type of town where, like, if I have an afro, they'd be like, oh, your hair looks fun.
So let me just dip out.
Puerto Rican schmick, and I.
She's talking about working at McCormick and Schmick now.
Remember,
yeah,
I'm from Detroit, so we say salmon instead of salmon. And I remember I got corrected so many times by the customers. They'd be like, salmon. Salmon. I was like, oh, I'm being the oppression.
God, you gotta watch this.
So then there's another part where she does cuss, and I can't get to it without her cussing, but she talked about Edina there, and David Letterman goes, I've been to Edina. He said, I interviewed there. He goes, there were two job openings available when I was doing weather, because, you know, for people who don't know, David Letterman was a weatherman. He goes, there was a job opportunity in Indianapolis. And he said, then there was a job opportunity at KSTP. Now, he mangled it a little bit, but he basically said Hubbard. He basically said our parent company.
Oh, my God.
And he said, so he interviewed. He interviewed for both of these jobs. And Kenny, you'll love this. He said he got in the car. And they're taking him back to the airport, and he sees this fencing. He sees all of this fencing lining the medians of 35W. And he's like, and he looks at his driver, and he said, may I ask, what's that fencing for? And he goes, oh, that's our snow fencing to prevent the feet, you know, the feet and snow coming in. And David Letterman goes, okay. And he goes, at that moment, he decided not to take the KSTP.
Oh, my God. Oh.
And he decided to go with Indianapolis because of the snow fencing.
Oh, my God. That's hilarious.
Oh, goodness.
I wonder what year that was, because hasn't Dave Dahl been working for us since right around that time?
Let's see here. Oh. That would have been mid-70s, Kenny.
Mid-70s. Dave Dahl was just turning 30 at the time, so whoa. Yeah, that's about the time Dave Dahl started.
You are lying. Dave Dahl isn't that old.
Yeah, he worked at Channel 13, and let's see here. 1970, Kenny. 1970, early 70. Yeah, I think so. Let me. I'm quickly looking here. Oh no, I'm sorry. 1971. He started making appearances.
No kidding.
And then he, And then in 75, he moved to L.A. So then there we go. But it was just so funny. The snow fencing convinced Dave.
Oh, no, man. Too bad.
Yeah. Sorry, Dave. Sorry about that. Yeah, it's a little rough. Anyway, so then Lizzo talked. She continued. Like I said, there's a good chunk where she really loves Minneapolis, and you can really tell. And she really loved Prince. And here she is talking about the collaboration, or how he really watched after her and really encouraged her. Yeah, here's a little bit of that exchange.
Prince had been doing this thing where he was cultivating young Black women who were creatives, and he was supporting them at Paisley Park.
Paisley Park was just what he called his home.
But it was more than that. It was like incredible. You know, it was like a studio.
You would go there once a week, twice a week, every night. What?
Not every night, I wish. My relationship with Prince was like Charlie and We Were the Angels. It was kind of like that. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time we went to Paisley Park, we recorded, and he was on like a speaker.
Ah.
Yeah, and I remember we were just like, does he like it? Like, he listens to us. It was so, and they're like, he likes it.
And she said, and then the next part of the interview, it transitions. It shows First Avenue. And she said, then I get a text message. And if you just tuned in, it's Lizzo on Letterman's Netflix show. Lizzo said she received a text message saying that Prince had passed. And she jumped on the first plane and flew to Minneapolis and performed in the intersection in front of First Avenue that night.
Oh,
and
man, that's right.
Yeah. And, you know, David kind of poked fun a little bit at, he's like, is there really a music scene in Minneapolis? He goes, you hear about it. He wasn't poking fun, but he was investigating. He's like, you know, you hear people talk about the Minneapolis scene. You heard Prince talk about it. And Lizzo went to defend. She goes, at any given night, she goes, every music venue is full with diverse talent of every genre. I'm paraphrasing, but she said there is absolutely a scene. And then that's when she started talking about the fact that if she had her druthers, she would have conducted her whole career from Minneapolis, from the Twin Cities.
Wow.
She said, but what had happened was, you know, she started being flown out to L.A. And she goes, and then what they do is they put you in a hotel, and then they put you in a short term apartment. And then before you know it, you know, you got your first contract, you're making money, the epicenter of your career, the galaxy moves west, and you end up just staying in L.A. She said, but
it's easier and more comfortable.
But she said, if she had a choice, she would have stayed here. She
cool.
It's great. She got Dave to rap, which was hysterical. Tricked him into doing that. So it was just a great interview. And once again, very, very Howard Stern, like, we were already a fan. I can only speak for myself. I already love her. I walked away loving her more. Just love. And well, especially because she worked at McCormick and Schmick's and Edina. That just made me, I just never forget that. But yeah, it was a good interview.
We'll all be watching this weekend for sure.
Yeah. The whole season. I can't wait to watch the Chappelle one. Again, that's the only one I haven't watched. Have you, Lex?
No, I haven't. Nope. It was just Kim K and Robert Downey Jr. And I didn't even finish that one yet, but I'm deep into it. So, but yeah, I love the show. I think that also doing it from her home, it gives a nice intimacy.
Yeah.
That I'm sure, you know, you don't feel with that big crowd and on a stage.
Kenny, to button this up, Phil Jones did some research. I guess Doll started in 77. So,
looks young.
He does. He hasn't aged a bit.
Gosh.
I loved it when Dave would come into the Red Lobster in Roseville. Yes. I loved that when I first moved here.
You don't get it. Dave's like 95 right now.
Oh my God.
I
just thought he was like a big family.
It's the portrait of Dorian Gray. Come on.
Yeah. Never age.
Stays the same age. His picture gets older.
Hey, guys. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, brought to you by Southern Lights and Dr. Lisa of Wyzetta Cosmetic Surgery and Spa. A great list of resources can be found on our website. Just type in keyword awareness. When we come back, fun 7 o'clock hours ahead. So go get some more prune juice, some grapefruit juice, some pineapple juice, and meet us back here in a little bit.